The simultaneous portion of this exercise will begin in a moment. Please use this time to adjust your headset and the volume to a comfortable level. Begin your interpretation when you hear the words, "ladies and gentlemen." The exercise will begin in 5 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been selected and sworn as a jury to try the case of the state versus Anselmo Ramos. This is a criminal case. The defendant is charged with the crime of driving under the influence, or DUI. To prove the crime of driving under the influence, the state must prove the following two elements beyond a reasonable doubt. 1. The defendant drove or was in actual physical control of a vehicle. Let me say that one more time. The defendant drove or was in actual physical control of a vehicle. 2. While driving or in actual physical control of a vehicle, the defendant was under the influence of alcohol to the extent that his normal faculties were impaired. Normal faculties include, but are not limited to, the ability to see, hear, walk, talk, judge distances, drive an automobile, make judgments, act in emergencies, and, in general, to normally perform the many mental and physical acts of our daily lives. Actual physical control of a vehicle means the defendant must be physically in or on the vehicle and have the capability to operate the vehicle regardless of whether the defendant is actually operating the vehicle at the time. It is your solemn responsibility to determine if the state has proven its accusation beyond a reasonable doubt. Your verdict must be based solely on the evidence or lack of evidence and the law. The citation is not evidence. Is the judge's responsibility to decide which laws apply to this case and to explain those laws to you? It is your responsibility to decide what the facts of this case may be and to apply the law to those facts. Before proceeding further, it will be helpful if you understand how a trial is conducted. At the beginning of the trial, the attorneys will have an opportunity, if they wish, to make an opening statement. The opening statement gives the attorneys a chance to tell you what evidence they believe will be presented during the trial. What the lawyers say is not evidence. Following the opening statements, witnesses will be called to testify under oath. Documents and other exhibits also may be produced as evidence. After the evidence has been presented, the attorneys will have an opportunity to make their final argument. Following the arguments by the attorneys, the court will instruct you on the law applicable to this case. After the instructions are given, then you'll retire to consider your verdict. All except one of you. One of you is the alternate. I find if I keep the alternate a secret during the trial, then the alternate will stay awake. Otherwise, they tend to fall asleep on me. So one of you is the alternate, and that person will not be able to decide the verdict with the other jurors. These instructions I'm about to give to you are general instructions. Some of this stuff will probably never happen in this case, but just in case it does, you need to know what to do. First of all, you should not form any definite or fixed opinion on the merits of this case until you've heard all of the evidence, the argument of the lawyers, and the instructions on the law by the judge. Until that time, you should not discuss the case among yourselves. During the course of the trial, the court may take recesses during which you'll be permitted to separate and go about your personal affairs. During these recesses, you will not discuss the case with anyone, nor permit anyone to say anything to you or in your presence about the case. If anyone attempts to do this, tell him or her that you are on the jury trying the case and ask them to stop. If they persist, leave at once and immediately report the matter to the court deputy, who will advise me. The case must be tried by you only on the evidence presented during the trial, in your presence and in the presence of the defendant, the attorneys, and the judge. Jurors must not conduct any investigation of their own. Accordingly, you must not visit any of the places described in the evidence, and you must neither read nor listen to any reports about the case. Further, you must not discuss this case with any person, and you must not speak with the attorneys, the witnesses, or the defendant about any subject until your deliberations are finished. In every criminal proceeding, a defendant has the absolute right to remain silent. At no time is it the duty of a defendant to prove his innocence. From the exercise of a defendant's right to remain silent, a jury is not permitted to draw any inference of guilt. And the fact that a defendant did not take the witness stand must not influence your verdict in any manner whatsoever. The attorneys are trained in the rules of evidence and trial procedure. It is their duty to make all objections they feel are proper. When an objection is made, you should not speculate on the reason why it is made. Likewise, when an objection is sustained or upheld by me, you must not speculate on what might have occurred had the objection not been sustained, nor what a witness might have said had he or she been permitted to answer. You may notice that notepads and pens have been provided so you may take notes during the course of the trial. You are not, of course, required to take notes, but some people find it useful, in receiving information, to take notes. Some people do not. If you do decide to take notes, there are some dangers associated with note-taking, which I should caution you about. First, there is a possibility that a juror may become so engrossed in taking notes that he or she misses other evidence, or, while writing down what a witness says, may miss how the witness acted, which is also important in determining the truth. Also, there may be a tendency to rely on the notes to the exclusion of other recollection. A juror's verdict should be based on what he or she remembers and understands the evidence showed, and you should not abandon your recollection solely because of what is contained in the notes of another juror. With that caveat given, I'll leave it up to you to decide whether to take notes or not. All right, we are ready for opening statements.
This is the end of the exercise.